Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
So, I like conspiracies, and I've been going down the rabbit hole for a long time with things that Benjamin Fulford says and things that another guy called David Wilcock said. David Wilcock wrote an incredible piece on his blog called Divine Cosmos, divinecosmos.com, and the thing is called Financial Tyranny. It's like a whole ebook, and the things he writes there are absolutely unbelievable. Shows how, like, the United States has confiscated, not confiscated, but traded a lot of gold after World War II from all these Asian countries, because the Asians helped America, you know, build a new financial system after World War II, you know, where everyone can co-prosper. And the Americans totally jacked the gold of all these Asians and wrote it on all these ancient bonds that these Asian countries have, Japan and China, and they have these ancient bonds worth, like, trillions of dollars, you know, and they say Wells Fargo, and they're, like, beautifully, like, you know, printed and everything, and the Asians are saying they want their gold back, and, the United States is going, oh, yeah, about those bonds, we have a lot of weapons, so, come and get your gold, bitch. And that's pretty much what's going on. So, it seems like there's this endless financial crisis. It seems like it's probably something to do with the banks that we bailed out, but now everything's fine, but we still have this massive debt. And now the post office doesn't send out any of their people on Saturdays. No delivering of Saturdays. They're closed Saturdays, you know? So, okay, so there's these big cutbacks that we can see what's going on. And anyway, I've been chasing down this rabbit hole of Benjamin Fulford and David Wilcock, because they're giving me crazy answers. Look, and here's the thing about news. Anytime I'm watching news and the news anchor isn't going, "We're all fucked! Why are you crazy?" and just starts screaming about conspiracies, I don't trust him. Because I know so much shit that, and if you watch a news story, just look and it's so obvious to go, oh, this news story is the public, the relations department of this, or it's just irrelevant news. You know, what your kitchen appliances are attacking you, and then they have a news story of some guy putting his face in his, you know, mixer. And then he gets put in a coma or whatever. Yeah, he's a retard. We don't need to see any of news stories like that. There's bacteria behind your toilet. Yeah, there probably fucking is. Clean your toilet, stupid, with bleach. So, we don't need... Or, the news story is like, congratulations, now a kid can walk, thanks to medical science. And, you know, and it's just getting people hooked on prescription drugs. Oh, we have all these drugs, you know. And then you see the commercials for drugstores selling you Oxycontin, getting everyone hooked on opiates, synthetic opiates that they have a patent on, you know. Anyway, my point is, mainstream news is absolutely fucking dreadful, and so if people are saying that, if there's a perspective, and there's a pervasive perspective online where... look at all the weird shit the government's doing. And, you know, I just feel like a lot of people are in this, like, United States propaganda cult, and they're not looking, you know, at other stuff, at what's really going on. And sometimes, you know, when you're looking at stuff on the internet, it looks like a soap opera. It looks like, you know, because Benjamin Fulford talks about the Pope, where he's like, oh, and then the Pope and Queen Elizabeth were smuggling bonds, and then Nazis were, and it's like, what the fuck? This is what's going on with our economy right now? So he writes a lot of crazy shit, but it's fun. It's entertaining. I feel like it's almost like pulp politics. But the main reason why I like Benjamin Fulford is because he's one of the guys going, everything is fucked! And I just, at my core, believe that more. than what I see on the mainstream news. It just, there's, I think everyone has a barometer, and when people talk the truth, your barometer becomes luminescent. Anyway, I'm gonna show you guys some stuff today. This is, okay, so if our whole economy is bullshit, and there are these ancient laws keeping us in place, keeping, look at the Federal Reserve. Our money is based on our own confidence in it. But money's not based on gold anymore. Legally, and it's known on the inside, and if you ask, you can look this up, that our money's only based on confidence. It's a fiat currency. It's owned by foreign, many foreign banks actually own the rights to printing, the basis of the value of our money. Okay, so there's these ancient laws that keep that in place, and this one place, called the One People's Public Trust, claimed to have researched the basis of this ancient law so well that they've constructed a document. Now, if you're being foreclosed on by your bank, you send them this document and the basis of what money is cancels your mortgage. Now, sounds too good to be true. But it's by the same kind of people who are talking in the circle of what's going on. It's almost like a mini subculture has popped up on the internet of this conspiracy. But they're claiming that they've, you know, they're all lawyers and they've canceled their own mortgages from this system. So it might be crazy. It might all be wrong. But this is some I found on the internet. Some people talking about the One People's Public Trust.
So we got Desmond Grundy joining us on the show here. And Desmond, you contacted me and I asked you, like, I'm not quite sure what this One People's Trust, One People's Public Trust is. I'd actually heard about it before you got in touch. Yeah. So, and maybe you can just give us a little bit of background about it, what it is exactly, and what your relationship is to it.
Okay. The One People's Public Trust is an organization put together as the result of a multi-year investigation into basically what comes down to financial tyranny.
Was this in Canada?
This is worldwide.
Okay.
This is worldwide. This is not just the U.S. or Canada or North America.
Okay.
This is worldwide. The trustees, the people who are in charge, are all experienced lawyers and financial people, accounting people. They were working with the highest authorities in the U.S. government, Canadian government, U.K., everywhere around the world to uncover just what's going on and why there are so many people suffering in the world. They needed to find out where the fraud was coming from because it shouldn't be this way. There's enough to go around for the whole world and then some, 10 times more. So they investigated this in a deep, deep undercover way to the point that one of the trustees put her house up for into foreclosure to find out what the depth of the fraud was. And
She personally incurred the expense.
She was a lawyer at
okay.
the time. She gave up her law degree. Heather Antucci Giraffe is
and
her
where
name.
Is she
She's
from?
In Morocco right now.
Okay.
She's originally from Washington State.
Okay. Wow, brave, yeah. brave woman.
Well, they are a very brave bunch. There's no doubt about it.
I saw it was like a news release or a PR thing,
yeah.
press release, about that they're foreclosing on major corporations, including banks.
Yeah, that's
and
right. That's been done. That was done December 11th. So they started with the Bank of International Settlement, which is the bank that basically all of the other banks are subscribed to, you know, the Federal
mm-hmm.
Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
is this the International Money or something, Monetary
this
Fund?
IMF is something different, but
okay.
they too were foreclosed upon.
Okay. Okay.
What does that mean, though?
What?
Because because when you think about foreclosure mm-hmm. on a house, it means mm-hmm. the people who live there are getting kicked out, and somebody else is
yeah.
taking
mm-hmm.
the house from them.
Well,
so what's happening when the Bank of International Settlements gets foreclosed on, or the IMF?
What happens is that they have no more money. They have no more access to money.
Okay.
The fraud really comes down to there's a lot of money, a lot of gold out there, a lot of gold-backed money that's available, and it usually resides and typically resides in trust funds, large trust funds, and these are managed by trustees. What the One People's Public Trust is an umbrella organization that has looked at all of those trusts, has communicated with all those trusts, and tried to understand why things are the way they are. So what they basically found out in their research is that we have all been subject to a gigantic, world-encompassing debt slavery system. There is no reason why we should all be this way. The gold is ours. It is everybody on the planet. There's 7 billion people on the planet. There is quintillions and quintillions of dollars, gold back, that are available, most of it buried or otherwise secured throughout the world.
And held back on purpose.
And held back on purpose. It was meant for ours. This planet, we've been here for a long, long time. It didn't start 5,000 years ago, 13,000, 20, at least 300,000 years ago. So all of that gold has been accumulated over that time. Trusts have been set up. You may have heard of the notion of a trust, a private trust, you know, a trust fund baby.
Okay,
not talking about that. This is a public trust. This money is available to all of us. So what the One People's Public Trust did was that they used the Uniform Commercial Code, which is at the very top of law
worldwide. Maritime law?
It's above maritime law. Okay. Maritime law is what we're all living under now, also called Admiralty Law.
Right.
And that came from the 1700s to enable commerce to take place on the high seas. So the British basically started it. It came from there. And I'm speaking in simple terms. It's really very complex. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, you know what it reminds me of, and it's probably related, but it reminds me of some of the type of arguments that I've heard from the Freemen movement.
Yes, yeah,
movement.
I knew you were going to come up with that.
And
yes. This is quite a bit beyond the Freemen movement.
Okay, but there have been people in the Freemen movement in Canada that I'm aware of that have gone before the courts to argue these kind of arguments, and the courts have, in at least one case, just thrown them in jail.
Freemen, there's no remedy. With the One People's Public Trust, there is a remedy. The remedy is that they took the laws, the commercial laws encoded in the UCC that enable commerce to take place, they took those laws and used them against the corporations, against the corporate governments. Remember that Canada is a corporation. We're not Canadian citizens. We're little mini Canadian corporations. Everything we earn goes to the Corporation of Canada. Everything the Corporation of Canada earns goes further up the chain, further up the chain. You know, the Bank of Canada is a private corporation. It might have a charter that says that it can do X, Y, and Z, but really when it comes down to it, it's a private situation. So what the One People's Public Trust is trying to do, and trying very diligently to do, is to get this money to the people, to us, and to not convince everybody, but to inform everybody that these large corporations and large corporate governments have been foreclosed. They have no more access to the trusts that they were pulling from. That's where their money was coming from. It's coming from us, yes, but there's a giant pool of money, gold-backed cash that's available to them, and that's what they've been using and not telling us. So a loan is not a debt. A debt is not a loan. I give you my jacket. I ask for it back. You give it back to me. I go into the bank and get a mortgage. The bank just types in zeros at the end of a number and creates cash out of nothing.
Right. Correct. Yes.
Okay. So that's, I think an increasing number of people are understanding that how the money works.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how, all I know about this foreclosure is, from what I've seen on YouTube, right? Like, where does it start to affect and benefit people like you and
how do we get that money?
We have to take our power. Okay, so One People's Public Trust has created a document called a courtesy notice. When you receive a collection call, or you receive a late payment on your mortgage, or you receive a harassment of some kind coming from a bank, you use a courtesy notice and you serve it upon that person. But you don't serve it on the corporation. You serve it on the person. So everything is
the person who contacted you.
The person who contacted you. And that person looks at that courtesy notice, and maybe they can do something with it, maybe they can't. Usually, they're going to pass it up the chain, and up the chain, and up the chain it goes. Hmm. As soon as it gets to the corporate, let's say it's a bank, as soon as it gets to the corporation's lawyers, the lawyers look at it and go, well, this is bunk. You know, I'm not going to deal with this. But as soon as they begin to, because they have to deal with it, as soon as they begin to realize that it is based on sound fact, UCC code, which is what laws are encoded in.
What's UCC?
Uniform Commercial Code. That
okay.
was created in the 50s to okay. enable, basically to enable globalization.
Okay.
Okay, that enabled all of the different countries throughout the world to be able to have transactions between each other.
Okay.
Right? Because if China wanted to send back 4,000 cars from Japan, they needed a way to encode that return.
Okay.
Or that discount, let's
okay.
say. Same with oil, you know, the petrodollar, the same thing. So everything had to be... So in the States, they created the Uniform Commercial Code. All countries in the world, 195, I think, countries in the world have adopted it so that they can do worldwide transactions. What the One People's Trust did during their investigation is discovered that, in fact, the banks didn't have the authority to create money out of nothing. They created it out of thin air. Okay, they created it out of zero. So on the one hand, they were receiving money from the trusts to do what they needed to do, and then they were receiving all of our mortgage payments and our loan payments plus interest. So no, it's just mm-hmm. like the German in the Second World War. If you're going to tell a lie so big that nobody is not going to believe it. Like it's going to be believed, and that's what they did. So the Uniform Commercial Code is the top tier set of laws worldwide that. Everything is encoded in. All of the rules get encoded.
So I have a question. Yep. Okay, so this money that you said it belongs to everybody.
Yes.
How do we get that money to the homeless person on the street?
That is coming. What we're all involved in is a giant reworking and rethinking of the way things are. We have to all take our power as individuals. And
does this involve Occupy demonstrations?
No,
what
no.
does this involve?
No, it involves, it's basically a paper militia. That's what I
okay.
call it.
Oh, wow.
So the idea being that you can take your courtesy notice and you give it to anybody who is hassling you about a mortgage because the mortgage isn't real.
Don't pay your mortgage.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the mortgages aren't real.
How about rent?
Rent is something that you are paying, but until everything gets settled, until everybody recognizes that we're free, we don't have to pay rent necessarily. What we're doing is helping someone else pay off their mortgage. We all know that. That's what you do when
right.
you pay rent. You're helping
right.
someone else pay off that mortgage. Well, that mortgage is illegal.
But now, so in the meantime, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to be a stickler here. I'm trying to
no,
make
it's
this
okay.
real.
I appreciate
I'm,
the question.
Well, I'm... Yeah, I'm trying to make this real for the everyday person. Mm-hmm. So somebody who's paying rent who says, okay, you know what? I'm not going to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. Now, there's all these policies and procedures or the mortgage to get you evicted or to foreclose.
Sure.
So if these people do this, will they be out on the street because the rental tribunal or whatever it's called is going to come after them and say, okay, you're evicted?
Again, take your power. Submit the courtesy notice. The courtesy
okay.
notice has the encoded law. As it goes up the chain, they begin to recognize that they don't have the power they thought they had.
So they cannot, if someone were to give this courtesy mm-hmm. notice, they cannot evict them. Is that what you're saying? Or do you have to hire a lawyer to do this?
No more lawyers. The admiralty law system is being put to rest. We're going to go back to common law. We're going to go back to one law, which is don't hurt anybody, and I won't hurt you. That's what it's coming down to.
So what can we do right now? Desmond, what can I do to learn more about this and to start to apply this to everyday life?
You can definitely do your research. You have to do your reading. You need
Where can I go?
Understand.
What's Admiralty Law, all of this?
Yeah, okay, optin.com, which
okay.
is opt-in.com. There's a lot of websites out there right now that are, and videos, lots of videos that are available. You can get all the information you need at these sites, and,
okay.
and it'll let you know. In terms of bringing it down to the ground, the whole focus right now is to get people aware. We're informing people.
Okay.
We are getting
so this is that. About education at this point,
right
not necessarily
now,
getting
at our
out
level,
there.
At this level where we're sitting here, at the level where they're dealing with the banks, BIS and everything else, you know, Bank of International Settlement, there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Okay, okay.
Tons and tons of stuff going on behind the scenes. So best to be aware, best to recognize that you're free. You've always been free. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not free. You are absolutely free. We're all equal. We're equal all the way down the line.
Yep.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has been encoded. It was submitted, and it's been unrebutted in the UCC. They had 30 days to rebut these charges. They didn't rebut it. And I'm talking about governments, the Federal Reserve, Bank of International Settlement. Nobody rebutted the claim, because if they rebutted the claim, they'd have had to admit their guilt. And they couldn't rebut the claim. So what has happened is the head has come off the snake, but the rest of the body doesn't know that the head's missing yet. And it's just like with slavery. I mean, you've heard of Juneteenth. That's a holiday. It's something they celebrate in Texas. But what really happened with slavery is that they were free for a year before anybody told the slaves they were free. It took a whole year for that message to get down to them. And then they woke up and they learned they were free and they could move on.
Where can someone get this courtesy notice?
It's available at opt-in.com and all the other sites.
Okay.
There's also a site, opt.tk, which is one that I run, and that's purely documentation. And so you can download them.
Okay.
It's a 5-page form with guidelines, and you serve it on the individual, not on the corporation.
Okay.
Now,
question, do you pay rent or mortgage?
I haven't paid my mortgage in 8 months.
And have you served the courtesy notice?
Absolutely. And they are stymied. They do not know what to do with me.
Desmond, how did you get interested in this, or how did you find out about this? What was the...
I wanted to save the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what happened? What were you cruising YouTube one day? Or I mean, what's the story of how you encountered this?
That's a good question.
Wow.
We're working with Friendly Military in Canada. And
what
do you mean by friendly military?
Is that an oxymoron?
Someone who is not backing up the corporate system, someone who's not backing up the corporate governments.
But somebody who's working.
Who's friendly to this cause.
Okay. But they're
friendly
in the military.
Oh, okay. Retired military. Okay. They're doing investigations. So this person was doing an investigation on Scotiabank, which just happened to be my bank. And Scotiabank, they pre-proved that, in fact, there was tremendous fraud going on. Tremendous. And he submitted his report to the RCMP. It's sad that we don't know what's happened to it since then, but no one has bothered him since last May or last April. And what happened was that report got put onto a site called AmericanKabuki.com out of San Diego. And we woke up one morning and saw it there, because that's the site that we go to each morning. And just the synchronicity of it, it just clicked.
Wow.
We sent our information in. All these documents from the One People's Trust started to appear, and they're quite complex documents, and they have a spiritual element. They're seriously legal, very, very legal document. Mm-hmm. But when we saw that, we said they were having a problem deciphering them. And my partner is a document analyst. She's a historian. And so she said, let me see them. Downloaded them, interpreted them, figured them out, and sent it back the message that said, these are bulletproof, everybody should dive on these.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off from there. So we became document experts for a while, and then we did some press release work, and I did a video and some music and things like that, and now it's just taken off worldwide. It's everywhere. You just see it all over the place. So people are beginning to take their power.
And we still have to get that money out to everybody.
Those systems are there. All of that has been set up. It's just a trigger point that needs to be reached.
Can we ask who set this up?
The One People's Public Trust. Three trustees who took over the trust. Okay, so after the investigation, they realized that something had to be done. They found the problem. They found the needle in the haystack. They found a way to do it through the Uniform Commercial Code. These were all people who were experienced in the Uniform Commercial Code. So they submitted the paperwork. They basically served it on them. They served it on the Rothschilds. They served it on the Queen. They served it on the Pope.
Wow. Is all this information out there?
All of it's out there.
Maybe that's why the Pope resigned.
It is partly why the Pope resigned.
Get
he's broke.
Out of town.
Vatican's broke. There is no money there. Do you know that you have to, before this Pope left, the only way to tour the Vatican was to pay cash. They wouldn't accept your credit card or your thing anymore, or your debit card, because they had no cash. These people shut them down. You just don't know about it yet. This is
when are
all
we going to find out about this to ask Ren.
Just ask. It's right there. Just do the reading. You'll know right away. This is world-changing. It's universal. And there's so many friendly people out there, so many friendly trusts. We're currently in communication with a trust in the Philippines, which technically is where a lot of the gold has been buried. It's been buried there for years and years and years. And we all own it. We are these people. It's quintillions of dollars. Basically, what it comes down to, the math, the One People's Trust did, we all get, everybody on the planet, once this money's released, will be worth $5 billion each. And anyone who's suffered damages due to these corporations and corporate governments will receive another $5 billion on top of that. Now, what does that tell you? No, money doesn't matter anymore. You can't spend that in a lifetime.
Do you think, though, when that happens, mm-hmm. okay, do you think there might be some anarchy from that? Because
why would there be?
Well, that's the thing I'm wondering.
There'll be a transition point.
And will people not know what to do with all of that? And then they'll go to town, maybe be...
Sure.
Here's what could happen.
There's going to be a transition point.
If something like that were to happen, mm-hmm. because people now, they have all that money,
yep.
everybody figures they don't have to go to work.
Sure.
Exactly.
Which means that the systems, which include corporations mm-hmm. and...
But hospital systems, maybe?
All systems... Mm-hmm. will no longer have labor, and therefore
people doing
and
garbage.
All that money in circulation, which is going to be inflation mm-hmm. and the productivity production mm-hmm. would crash. So it could be a potentially very disruptive
occurrence. But the philosophy of this is, don't hurt anybody. I won't hurt you. You don't hurt me. Keep going
but
to your jobs. There's a transition.
But people who hate their jobs,
place.
Okay? People who hate their jobs.
Yes.
What if, you know, if I collect garbage
yep.
and I don't really want to do that,
yep.
okay, I'm just going to stop doing that.
Okay. There's technology out there that will change that forever. There's patents and technology that have been... Look at the story of Nikola Tesla, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He could produce electricity for free for
mm-hmm.
the world.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
technology was buried... And buried long, long, long ago, you know, and it's the same with the light bulbs, batteries, the whole bit. All that technology is available now. Free energy is available now. There's a free energy system that was created by the Cache Foundation. Actually, I've heard that technology has been around for 20 years, but basically it's a small plasma generator that works on decaying nickel, and it's basically like a battery, and it goes for basically ever. Okay, so let's say 50 years, like a lifetime battery,
okay.
And you can take that battery and plug it into your frying pan, plug it into your furnace, plug it into your car, keep everything going, and you don't pay anything for that. That technology is there. Health technologies are there that have been buried. All of that stuff will come out. So the questions that you ask about, okay, there's anarchy. Anarchy will be...
balanced out.
It'll be a wash.
Yes.
Okay, so I mentioned before we came on about, you know, because I think... Because I actually, like I said, I saw some videos on this stuff before you even got in touch with me. And somebody made a comment, I think, you know, it's whoever has the guns
mm-hmm.
wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
and when you look at what's happening in the U.S. with the trashing of the Constitution,
sure.
and
sure.
you know, and they're trying to take away everybody's gun, what about that? Because the people that are in power that are benefiting from the system at the expense of everybody else now
that's a small percentage of people, small percentage of people. They have the guns because they have everybody's mortgage in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
These soldiers have a mortgage to pay. Right, they have health care, especially in the States, they have health care to pay. These types of things are all issues that need to be dealt with on an individual basis. We all need to take responsibility now for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
who we are. That's what the One People's Public Trust did. It took responsibility for the whole planet. When it filed the UCC filing, it filed it for everybody. So everyone is free.
Is that why, Desmond, mm-hmm. we have to give the courtesy notice to the actual person as opposed to the corporation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because you're holding that person accountable.
So I give you're coming after me for $1,000, and I don't owe you that money because you're a corrupt and bankrupt corporation.
And I'm representing the bank.
And you're representing the bank. I give you my courtesy notice, okay? And in that courtesy
notice... Now I'm freaking because he's giving this to me.
That's right. Exactly. So they give it to their boss, and they give it to their boss, and eventually it gets to a lawyer who knows what's going on and goes, oh, boy. And we're starting to see lots of lawyers now come on board with this and go, look, this is bulletproof. Go with it, everybody. Let's go. Everybody get together. Let's overthrow this. This is dumb. What are we buying into here? What are we part of? We're all part of a slavery system, a debt slavery system that doesn't have to be here. There's enough money in the world for everybody.
Okay, Desmond, now it's time for a crazy question.
Yep, go.
Because you mentioned all that gold, right?
Yep.
We know that the gold,
yep,
the real reason gold is so valuable is because the Anunnaki, who landed in ancient Sumer, to take our gold to repair their atmosphere, want that gold back, and it's they, those reptilian alien shape-shifting hybrids,
that are,
you know, managing the world for them, right? How do we fight these aliens?
We don't have to, because we are now in the age of Aquarius, and we are now moving through the solar system in the side of light, not
in the side of
dark.
Why don't we fight them with love? Say, come on, let's go for a beer.
We love everybody. I love the bankers. I love the corporations. I love Stephen Harper. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I love them all.
It's the end of the world now.
I love them to death, but they've got to go away. They have to take a little break. They have to go into the corner and have some quiet time.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so it all pretty much sounds too good to be true. And then once you start to kind of believe them, they talk about aliens. I think he was kind of joking about the Anunnaki alien thing. I think he was just, like, doing an inside joke winky face, like, you know, there's some crazy people among us who believe about the aliens. I'm not sure if he... I don't know. I don't know this guy. I got this from Kalupi Press blog. And they have an RSS feed, you know, Kalupi Press blog. I don't know how to spell it. Anyways, now, I'm also going to show some of the interview between Benjamin Fulford and David Wilcock. Some of this, they're talking about the same kind of financial tyranny, what is money based on kind of thing. And also, then they just start, you know, having all kinds of rambles on all kinds of great conspiracies. And, you know, if you guys are, there's not a lot of laughs on this episode, I'm sorry, but this is just a conspiracy episode. You know, have some fun, listen to some crazy shit. Do I believe in all this stuff? I don't know. I don't know if I believe in this. I'm just finding this interesting and keeping my mind to as many different possibilities as possible. You know, you get one view from the mainstream media, and then you get another, a totally different view on the internet. So, anyway, here's some more crazy talk with Benjamin Fulford and David Wilcock. It's kind of fun.
Things are changing here, too. But it's not over. So, in other words, there's a lot of chaos and confusion. But what is for sure is that the Asians, that includes the Japanese and the Chinese and the Southeast Asian countries, have all agreed that they control most of the world's money, and they're no longer going to let the City of London and Wall Street decide how it's invested. And that is the core of this crisis. You see, the people of Wall Street and the city don't want to lose their power. And this is what the battle's all about.
Yeah, I think a fascinating point to interject here is if you go back to Peter David Beter's testimony and you look at his history of the Rockefellers, what you realize is that their world power and how it manifested simply came from the economic advantage that they held as the kingpins of the oil economy. And I think that when the Rothschilds set them up, they underestimated how dominant that economic force would be, that this group would end up splintering off and becoming such a megalithic force throughout most of the 20th century.
Well, yeah, there you have it. You have the Rothschilds pushing this global warming, which was really an effort to promote the nuclear industry and make it seem environmentally friendly again.
Right.
They battle against the oil and the war industry in the U.S. So you had two big factions there fighting. That was manifested in the election that Al Gore had stolen from him. Although it turns out he's also a scumbag, no? but the thing that they have in common is they want to have a central control over the energy. They want to charge everybody a monthly bill.
When you say they have in common, you mean the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers?
Rothschilds, yeah, the different factions all want centralized control of the economy. In other words, they all want to have a Babylonian god-king type system, you know, a secret ruler with godlike powers and everything under central control. And what's the difference is who is that person in central control? That's what the fighting has been about. And I think what most of humanity says is we're tired of having secret god kings ruling us, and we want this system to end. So that's the other real battle. And I personally believe in meritocracy as the best form of government. That is a pyramid that anybody can climb to the top if they're good enough, with complete transparency.
Well, I think the gist of what you're also saying here, just to reiterate this point, is that the other countries, of whom you've mentioned there are a variety of factions, have now eclipsed the economic power and growth of either the Rothschild or the Rockefeller factions.
That's right. And, you know, they were afraid that they're going to lose control. That's why they wanted to kill everybody. But you know, the Asians and the Asian Secret Society have been fighting them for hundreds of years and doing business with them at the same time, I might add. So, for example, some of the people I talked to, you know, sold the heroin to the CIA during the Vietnam War.
Right.
And when the CIA tried to double-cross them, they blew up a bunch of CIA airplanes, and then they went back to business.
Mm.
So they've been dealing with them since the times of the opium wars, or before, but they have not been controlled by them. And they've been trying very hard through bribery and promising, you know, to China that you will get to rule the entire planet. Just work with us. They've managed to, you know, corrupt a lot of people out here, but not enough to make a difference at the end of the day. And we've been weeding out the people they bribed, and we've identified them. So, you know, the process is ongoing. We're in a war, and it's not over.
Right, and I would say that the major tools that they seem to have on their side would be blackmail, bribery, death threats, intimidation, and all those things cost money, right?
And propaganda. Yeah, they cost money, yeah.
Yeah, and the point being that they're basically no longer able to finance the scope of intimidation, blackmail, and bribery operations required to keep a lid on this thing.
That's right, and, you know, now the mafia has broken away, and you know, the Chinese underground has broken away, and then the Japanese underground has broken away. So, you see, at the very top of the world, if you want to get that high in power, you have to have armies, spies, assassins. You know, it's not normal thinking anymore. This is how these people have operated, and they've had these secret organizations all over the world. And what's happened is that they're losing control over. They've lost control of the secret organizations in Asia, and there's a huge battle in the West between what I would say are the good guys who want to restore actual democracy and freedom of the press and everything, and the ones who are still trying to create or maintain the secret dictatorship that they've had, this, you know, Babylonian God-King system. And then within that, there's different factions. But I would have to say also that even if you cannot predict the details of the ongoing intrigues, because it's so complex and Machiavellian, you can say that at the end of the day, they're doomed. It's like if you light a cigarette, you cannot predict the individual swirls of cigarette smoke and how they're going to go. But you can predict that over a certain amount of time, the smoke will be evenly divided throughout the room. And the fact is they've lost control over the world's financial system, and that means that it is just a matter of time before they're control of Western society is going to end.
Now, when Christopher Story talks about dollar refinancing operations, you have mentioned something to the effect that the people who actually have legitimate money in the bank and aren't playing these collateralized debt obligation games and derivatives games and so forth, that their money will be preserved as we go through this transitional process. Is that correct?
Well, okay. My own independent information is that, it coincides a lot with Mr. Story, but not completely, was that they, first of all, under the President Clinton and Greenspan, they secretly passed a law allowing 100 times leverage. That is, you could bet 100 times what you really had.
This is the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act or something else?
Well, it's, you know, that the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act is part of it. But the point is that, you know, usually there's a limit, like there was always a traditional limit of 10%.
Okay.
So you could, that is to say, for example, if you bought a dollar, $100,000 future contract, you'd have to have 10,000 real dollars.
Correct.
But now they made it so if you wanted to buy it, you only had to have 1,000 real dollars to buy 100,000. And that makes it a much, much more high risk, high return. And what they did was say, for example, in California, there was an illegal Mexican worker earning $12,000 a year. And they gave him a loan to buy a house worth $750,000. And he didn't have to pay any, you know, money for the first 5 years. Now, of course they know that loan's going to go bad, but it doesn't matter because that was part of the plan. They then take that $750,000 house as collateral, put it in some kind of mortgage-backed fund, and then bet it 100 times more. So it would be suddenly $75 million, I believe.
Mm.
And when the price of real estate is going up, you get these astronomical profits, which they then park in the Cayman Islands and off the banking's official books, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the price of real estate started falling, they created these astronomical losses, which they also just hid. And their plan was to bankrupt the U.S. and then come back and buy everything on the cheap. But what happened was the rest of the banking world said, enough of this crime and theft, and they tried to sterilize this money, saying, no, you cannot cash that money. That was created through fraud. And this is where the battle lines are drawn. Now the Bush and all these people, the feds, they want to cash that stuff in at 2.5% of what it's worth. But under Obama, they've reflated this bubble, and they've now got literally something like $4 quintillion. I had to look this up, you know.
Mm.
It's like a one with 30 zeros or something. You know, it's just
right.
Totally nonsense because the entire world GDP is $60 trillion. Okay, so it's like I'll offer you $1 zillion. You know, please give me your sunglasses. You say what? You know, I mean, this is the sort of nonsense it's degenerated into.
Right.
But you know, it's about power, and these guys still control a vast military apparatus, and they're threatening violence. Don't come to a deal.
These guys, meaning the Rockefeller faction.
Yeah, that whole group, the owners of the Federal Reserve Board, and then the owners of all the propaganda media companies.
Well, it's my understanding from what Christopher Story is saying that Obama's executive order has now allowed Interpol to be holding people at gunpoint on both ends of these Federal Reserve transactions that are necessary to execute the lien that was put on them from China. To the effect of some, what was it, $47 trillion?
Yeah, I'm also hearing that. And what the Rothschild people contacted me have made this following offer to China and the Asians. And I think it's a good one. They want to take gold they have, you know, stashed away in the Philippines and use it to back up all the dollars that were created through honest work. In other words, not this derivatives, you know, funny money, but the rest of the dollars, back them up to 1/28 of an ounce of gold for each dollar.
Mm.
And then they want to merge it with the Hong Kong dollar and rename it the Hong Kong dollar. So, and the reason is because 90% of the dollars ever created are owned by people who are not Americans, and they don't want that to become worthless paper. So they're trying to sterilize, you know, get rid of all this phony money that created by the feds as part of their plan to take over the U.S. and then make the rest legitimate again. Now, what the Chinese have done, and this is very clever on their part, is they took all their dollars and they bought commodities and everything physical they could get their hands on. So they were buying a bunch of gold futures.
Mm.
And they were demanding actual payment in physical gold. And what happened was the feds didn't have the physical gold, so they sent tungsten coated with gold, because it apparently it weighs, has the same density almost.
You have to dope it with a little bit of lead, but yeah, basically it's the same. Yeah.
And I've confirmed this with someone who reports to the Politburo, so this is not something I heard, on the internet or something. No?
I understand.
And then the Chinese said, well, no, we want real gold, and they don't have it, and they've been scrambling and scrambling, they've been begging us for gold, and we've been saying, no, buzz off. And so what they've done now is they've threatened to invade Venezuela, take over the oil fields there, and then cut off the oil out of the Gulf of, out of the Persian Gulf.
Right, the Gulf of Aden.
Yeah, the Gulf of Aden. So that's what all this Yemen stuff is all about. So that's where the game stands now.
And this guy who tried to blow up the airplane on Christmas, Abdul al-Muttalib, or whatever his name was, that was indicated by Christopher Story as also being agent provocateur of some kind, correct?
Of course, of course. I mean, look, they ordered these naked body scanners before this ever happened, and the idea is to intimidate and humiliate and beat down the American people into submission. And ultimately, they want to prevent travel if they can. So it's them saying, look, we can do whatever the hell we want to the American people, and they're no longer going to be able to fight us. We've got them totally subjugated. They'll do anything. This is what their message is. That's what this thing was all about, if you ask. I'm gonna pop some tags. We want to install a temporary government, hold free and fair elections, and return the United States to constitutional rules. So that's where I think the fault lines are. And Christopher Story is obviously with the Queen of England, and the problem with the Queen of England is that I actually personally interfered on her behalf. Her husband Philip and the oldest son of Queen Beatrix showed up in Tokyo with a $2.1 trillion check.
A check?
Yes, or a bond, whatever,
Okay.
Instrument,
And okay.
They asked me to call the bank and say, please cash it. So I did. I called the chairman of Mitsubishi Tokyo UFJ Bank and said the Black Dragon Society would like you to cash that check for them. And then she turned around and gave the money to George Bush and all those people.
Oh, my gosh.
Right in the Nazi faction. And then all sorts of people on the British side felt they had been betrayed by the Queen. And they started sending me all sorts of information about her, and it turns out...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how did you not get killed as a result of this?
Well, because I immediately explained that I had been fooled by these people, and that I really had expected the money to go to ending poverty and stopping environmental destruction, and not to financing, another round of war.
I mean, let's just stop for a minute here and say this, just to reiterate, that you're saying that you're personally responsible for $2.1 trillion ending up in the hands of the Bushes.
But I didn't know that. I was
wow.
And so we had to squish that money all, freeze it.
So they didn't actually get it.
Well, they got it, and as soon as we saw where the money went, we froze the account.
Oh. Now you're saying that as a result of you realizing that you'd been double-crossed and how upset you were, that this opened...
A lot of people in the U.S. and England then started giving me information about the Queen, and she's got a lot of dirty laundry. They've been blackmailing her about, Diana was pregnant with a Muslim child, and she was going to convert to Islam, and that's why they killed her, for example.
Right.
Then, a cousin of the Queen phoned and said that they actually had human sacrifices at Balmoral Castle twice a year.
Huh.
And then a illegitimate daughter of King Edward said that, they made a deal with the Nazis, which is why the Battle of Britain was called off at the last minute.
Wow.
And if you're a military historian, everybody always said, if the Germans had only kept pounding one more day at the British defenses, they would have won the Battle of Britain. But suddenly, they decided to start bombing instead. And why did they make this mistake? Well, it wasn't a mistake. They deliberately called off the attack because they made a secret deal with the British royal family. And this is the secret they don't want kept. And the other thing I was told is that Hitler was actually Queen Elizabeth's uncle.
Oh, my God.
So, we find out we have these royal families fooling the people, and they keep changing their last names. But if you look at Kaiser Wilhelm...
Wasn't Hitler like a Bronfman or something? I seem to remember reading that, or...
Schicklgruber. But if you look at a photograph of Hitler, and a photograph of Kaiser Wilhelm, a photograph of King George V, they look almost identical.
Wow.
These people marry each other's cousins, so they have very similar, you know, genes. So, in other words, we've been told a huge kettle of lies by these self-appointed kings who ruled us in secrecy for hundreds of years. And much of what we were taught of as history is going to have to be relearned because it's just not true. For example, as a Canadian, I was told that the Battle of the War of 1812 was the Americans invaded us and we repelled them. And now I found out actually what happened was the Americans didn't renew the Rothschilds banking license, and so they invaded the U.S.
Mm.
So, you know, I mean, all sorts of stuff that we've been taught is just plain wrong. And
well, you know, there was a massive revolt against the Masonic Order in America in the mid-1800s, which led to almost the complete collapse of Masonry. And then the Civil War was created so that people would want to join the Masons in order to get preferential treatment on the battlefield to save themselves from being killed. And that was the only way they were able to repopulate the ranks because of how badly this scandal involving the murder of Captain William Morgan had almost completely wiped out the Masonic Order. And that's something that you never hear in conventional history.
Of course. I mean, there's so much, you know, basically, you have to, once we the Fed is out of the way and you go back to 1913, you'll find out that so much of World War I, World War II were all kind of set up according to a predetermined plot. And another thing I've heard, for example, recently is that, you know, the Titanic.
Oh, I heard this too. Go ahead.
Yeah, they deliberately put all these rich people and royalty who weren't going along with their plans on board, and then they were supposed to all have a chat as they crossed the Pacific, but suddenly, at the last minute, the J.P. Morgan, the bad guys, didn't join the boat, didn't get on the boat, and they rammed it deliberately into an iceberg, and then they, at gunpoint, they prevented them from boarding the lifeboats. So this was like a way of killing a whole bunch of their enemies in one fell swoop.
Well, it was also the fact that this is very highly sensitive, and somebody told me this in confidence, but now that you've said it, I'll just go with it. But they said that the women and children first rule was already chosen in advance so that none of the men would live. And deliberately sabotage, which is why the captain was steaming towards the iceberg at top speed. And that Woodrow Wilson was aware that this had happened, and that's when he said, "There exists this power in the world so subtle, so organized, so watchful, that we dare not speak above a whisper when we speak in condemnation of it."
Yeah, and remember there's a novel about a ship called the Titan that sank on its maiden voyage.
Oh, right.
About a year or two before that. Well, so they're, in a way they're announcing their plans to the insiders.
Right, because that's the ritual aspect of it where they like to announce out in the open what they're going to do.
Yeah, the same with they had a Fox special about a plane flying into the World Trade Center right before...
Right. You know.
So these people have really been making fools of us for a long time. And there's going to be an awful lot of anger when this comes out. But, I think you have to remember these people are born into that system and it's enforced through gruesome murder. And so a lot of them had no choice. So we really do have to forgive them once it's out.
Some tags, only got $20 in my pocket.
Again, I don't know if this stuff is true. I'm just asking questions here. And so next episode of Highway Diary will be more funny and stuff and have the normal fart and dick jokes. Just wanted the conspiracy theory episode. Talking about weird financial shit. And, like, the Pope and shit. Anyway, I've been your host, Eagle fucking Carl. And let me tell you something. I got a show April 6th, Saturday at 9:30 at Flappers Comedy Club. Check me out.